Welcome back to the Slop Drop. This is Nathan Rogers at WooPixum on Twitter. And as usual, joined by my tag partners for this episode, the unluckiest man on planet Earth, Diamond David Lee, Bad Luck Chapman, and the manager of champions, Mr. Stephen E. And joining us this evening, who was scheduled to be on here anyway, things have changed a little bit since we last planned this, but the Space Cowboy, Jason Jones, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks again for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, how we normally start this is...
You're here. I'm here. Let's do this!
As I said, things have changed a little bit since we planned on doing this. So we typically joke around, have a little fun, insert some sound bites. But let's just go ahead, address the elephant in the room. As Lance Storm would say, if I could get serious for a minute, and then we'll go back to being goofballs.
World class. I got to lose weight. I understand. You don't have to call me an elephant.
World class pro wrestling event took place this past weekend on December 11th, 2021. Huge event. Lots of great talent on the card. I hate to start mentioning names because I know I'm going to leave people out, but yourself, you were there. Mick Foley, Kevin Sullivan, Fuego del Sol, Gideon Vane, Moonshine Mantel, Jacob Fatu, Michael Berry, Carlito, Charlie. I mean, go on and on and on. Great event has been overshadowed by a very unfortunate incident. And if you follow us on Twitter or TMZ or New York Post or Bleacher Report, you probably know what we're talking about by now.
Or the world for right now. I mean, like, you know, I drove back that night. So for those people just like randomly listening to this, I'm not doing this podcast. I was scheduled to do this podcast 2 months ago to plug our event this weekend with Jimmy Hart in Harrison, Arkansas. So I don't want to come across ill-mannered or taste, you know, distasteful like that. But I think a lot of untruths have been said. I think a lot of people are pointing the blame somewhere that it doesn't need to go. And what I want to start off by saying is I was on the show. I wasn't just in the locker room. I was ring announcer that night. And when you hear the person talking on the PA system announcing the winner of the match, announcing for the crowd to scoot back, that's me. That's me ringing the bell and continuously ringing a bell because I just knew there was supposed to be a pull apart. We didn't know what was going to, you know, happen. So first of all, let me address this. There's no reason in the world that anyone should point a finger at World Class, Jerry Bostic, Eric Embry, or any of the other talent on that card. This is a case of one bad apple spoiling the entire bunch and one person going into business for themselves to try to get click famous. That's all it is. And that's all it ever was. We were not told it was going to happen. We were told he was going to do a spot with a referee that he paid to bring in to do. He was going to do the spot with him where if he gets a little bit of color, I'm sure it might just be a little bit, but we saw what happened. Everybody saw the videos. I just want to say it once and for all, you know, Jerry Bostic and World Class, I've worked for them for years. You guys have known this. We've been on some big cards with them and I'm their face. I'm right up in front. I'm doing TV interviews. I'm doing announcing. I've wrestled for them and they do a great product. We had a great show. Mick Foley came in himself that night as a favor for Eric Embry and put us over big time and put over all the fans. I got a chance to work with one of my childhood heroes, Mark Lawrence from the Voice of World Class, was sitting 2 feet from me when this happened. And for him to come out and say what he said about, it's great to see some of the old Dallas fans here and this is a great product. And then all of that to be taken away by somebody. And I'm going to say this, it was a premeditated thing that I believe of that he knew about. And I think two or three other people knew about that were in his, on his team, let's say, so to speak. He was streaming this live for Hannibal TV. He got the reaction. And anytime a video would get pulled down because of whatever, another one would magically pop up there. Jerry Bostic and World Class, we were not told about this. We were not told. We were just told, hey, it's going to get, there's going to be a little swerve or something there at the end. He's going to beat up a referee and just show that he's crazy. That's it. That's all we were told. And the thing that really set it off is I've been promoting shows for 20 years. Bostic has been promoting for like 14 years. So if you people are wondering if this, you know, him pointing the finger back at World Class, they didn't have this and they should have blah, 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 blah. Screw that, man. He's been promoting for 14 years, sometimes 30 shows a year. He's never had an incident like that. So what does that tell you? It goes back to the person that instigated it, that did it for the reason. He thought he was going to create another Kulos incident, or what was his name? Mass Transit, right? Eric Kulos, whatever his name was. He got his moment. All of his stuff is based around shock and getting clicks. And I'll go out on the record and say this. This was not anything that was anybody knew about from the office. They didn't pay that referee to come in and do that. Hannibal did that. Hannibal went into business for himself. Do you think Carlito liked working a half drunk guy? Because I think he was intoxicated myself. The referee believes he was too. Carlito was able to get out of there safely, but there was some stiff stuff in the match. It was horrible. Then he goes into business for himself with the referee. And for everybody to watch and say, oh, this is a travesty. World Class shouldn't have done anything like that. World Class didn't do that. Hannibal went in there with a sole intention of doing that and lied to everybody what the outcome was going to be. He got what he wanted. He got the footage from this. He live streamed the deal. He put the footage out there. And at what expense? If he would have killed that guy, you know what? His views would have been up through the roof. But Lando's a great guy. I've worked with him on a couple other shows. He agreed to come in for, you know, Hannibal to do this thing just to take a ref, you know, to get a ref beating or whatever. And even if there was supposed to be blood and there's supposed to be a blade job, look, dude, I was 20 feet away from the ring, ringing the bell, waiting for that run in. I don't know who's supposed to come in to do the run in to save, to set up an angle. I don't know. But for Hannibal to say, he never once told me to stop or I'm not okay. How are you supposed to do that when you're being shoot choked? He put him in a shoot choke hold and laid back on it. He kept opening him up and didn't stop when it was freaking squirting out of his head. When the referee got pulled out of the ring, that should have been the safety zone, but he continued to come back down there and work on the ref. Guys, I'm not going to lie. There's a gallon of freaking blood around, you know, around the referee on the outside that you guys didn't see. That, you know, that's not there and all that footage. And there's no way, shape, form, or fashion that all the talent that went in there and busted their ass on this card and worked their tail off to put on a hell of a show. I mean, there's 600 people in the crowd plus. It shouldn't be overshadowed by some guy trying to make the news, trying to get clicks, and trying to make himself famous. World Class didn't have any part of this. I didn't have any part of this. Mick Foley didn't have any part of this. Fuego del Sol didn't have any part of this. But guess what? We're all guilty. I've got hate inboxes. You know, Jerry's received nothing but negativity. He's got some positive, and the positive has been, let's get Hannibal out of this business. Let's get Hannibal out of this business. But being a business owner, his business is damaged. Because I will tell you right now, if I'd have brought my small kids when they were little, if I'd have brought them to this event and paid money and met Mick Foley, and that happened up and there's a referee hits an artery and a guy that continues to inflict pain just so his clicks go up on social media, I would have been disgusted. I never came back and I never gave that company another dollar. So I understand. But understand, people, when I see people talk about this was fake or this was staged, it was not. I can tell you from a grown man who's been in this business for 25 years, sitting 20 feet away, this was nothing that was planned. This was nothing that was staged. And this is nothing that was fake. First and foremost, it's not fake. Okay. Okay,
that's of course, we've been getting pounded with DMs right. And tweets and all that.
They broke on you guys' story, you know, right. And it's, so I literally had 30, 40 messages by the time I got out of Texas that night. And it's just, I tried to give myself a little bit of time, but I mean, there's a lot of guys on the card that were dumbfounded. We don't know this is going on, you know? And so then the paramedics, and I'm trying my best. If you listen and you watch back the clips, I'm telling the audience to please take their kids away from it. Leave a path clear for when the EMTs do show up. Is there a doctor in the house? Is there a paramedic in the house? I'm also, you know, at one point I come out and apologize because we were scheduled for an intermission after that anyway. It was that break in the card. I think it was after the sixth match. And then we came back with the, you know, Fuego and the main event matches. And so the only thing I could think of was making sure as soon as the EMTs roll there, that there's no distraction. They don't have a duck and weaving through and people that get straight there, straight back. I've had somebody collapse in my ring and it's not anything that, you know, was planned or anything along that line. So I just tried to resort back to that and use common sense. And people are yelling at me, cutting promos on me. They're going, why the F did you book this guy? I didn't book the guy. I'm just the guy getting paid to talk on the microphone tonight, you know? So trying to explain myself to that and be like, guys, I promise you, this is not part of the show. And they're like, yeah, bullshit, you know? And I can, I sound a little hot about it because I see what Jerry's built with his company, something so great, something so positive, such a great event. And then one guy to use that as a jumping off point to just spike his social media, man.
Yeah, everybody that has worked for Jerry or that has known Jerry, you know, over the last 15 years or so knows that he puts on great shows. The production absolutely is great. The shows are always stacked full of stars. Everybody in our area wants to work for world class, you know, it's a great promotion. So you're right. That's too bad.
You mentioned something earlier and there's been rumor that he appeared to be impaired. In your opinion or your feelings, do you feel he was impaired?
It, you know, with the, and it's, we know this individual is a very litigious individual as well. So I think in my honest opinion, I'm going to paint this picture for you. I think he was impaired. I think he was trying to work up the courage to do what he had planned in his mind only. And that was to take advantage of that referee that was going to blade for him, right? Or whatever. So when the match goes to happen, I go in the ring and everything has been running smooth. I'm firing. There's 10 matches. So I'm getting through these, you know, as soon as one match is done, hey, you guys are still having a good time. How about that match? You having a good time? Are you ready for your next match? Next match scheduled for one fall, yada, yada, yada. I go in the ring. I can't find him. I have note cards that I write down, you know, in this corner, Stephen E. weighing in 265 pounds, you know, from Springfield, Missouri, or, you know, David Chapman weighing at 584 pounds. But, but anyway, that was the only card that I didn't have because he disappeared. No one could find him in the back. So I had no stats on the Blood Hunter, even though I've announced him one other time. I didn't remember that stuff. You know, I'm sure it was parts unknown. I didn't know the name of his manager. I didn't know if Kevin Sullivan was still coming out with him or what the case of it was. So I'm standing in the ring and I'm like, ladies and gentlemen, following contest is for your Texas Heavyweight Championship. Nothing. He doesn't have music. Fine. Ladies and gentlemen, making his way to the ring, being accompanied by Blaze and Kevin Sullivan, the Blood Hunter. Nothing. Send the guys back to the back. Nobody can find him. I'm in the ring. People are booing me. Hey, guys, don't forget to visit our website at World Class Pro Wrestling. Don't forget the bar's open. And we're coming back here January 22nd. I go into just stretch mode. And what do you do when there's dead air? You're trying to just, hey, guys, don't boo me. We're waiting on the next match. We think there's an issue with the DJ booth. No, there's an issue with a guy that's impaired that's not coming to the ring. So as he gets to the ring, Carlito's going to come down. And I even said, hey, make sure he's not drunk. Be careful. Boom. I sit down at the ring announcer table. Carlito has three apples. He sits them down in the corner. Boom, boom, boom. He looks over at me and he goes, keep an eye on the apples. Obviously, they're going to use the apples in the finish. They never got to the finish because everything went straight out the door. He was impaired. I know at one point he pulled Carlito back to give him kind of an open-handed chop, and it was just a thud. Carlito blocked the next one, and he did his best to work with him. I had to stay out there, so I didn't get a chance to hear what happened with Carlito the minute he walked backstage. I also need to tell you that the backstage area is not like a regular locker room. This is a huge, huge nightclub, and the locker room was a good 100 yards from where the entrance was. It's the huge, huge party venue that has different warehouses where they have events and things like that. So to go up the stage, you see where, you know, the Alamo, where it looks like, and people walk through that, you have to go down that, down a corridor, and then wind through three or four different offices, and then go back into the main room where everybody was getting dressed and things like that. The girls had their own little separate facility. So when the EMTs finally show up, they're getting in there, they're getting medical attention. We call for an intermission, but we ask them to please stay out of the way. I go to the back, the cops are there, and they say, we need a statement from someone. And I was like, Colby, the referee probably needs to give the statement, since he was in there and saw from point A to point B and was actually in there and could talk about how impaired he was. I don't know if it was alcohol. I don't know if it was anything, but maybe it was just adrenaline he was impaired on. But something wasn't right. And the victim in this, and I know everybody's talking about Lando, the referee, being the victim. Yes, he was a victim. But being a business owner myself and knowing all the blood, sweat, and tears, I mean, I'm coming to you 4 days before an event, and I'm up here setting up. We just got done training here where we're having the event and setting stuff up 5 days early. The victim is Lando, and the other victim is world class. You know, and I know I may sound like a shrewd business owner in that way. You know, there's other victims involved, the crowd. You know, Bostic has came out and apologized to the crowd, even though it wasn't his fault. It was one guy that went into business, and he used every person in that company. He used every person in that crowd as his pawn to get clicks. And that's what it boils down to. That's all it boils down to. And I've known the three of you guys for many, many years. There's nothing that I would ever let that, if I were to book in someone like that, that, by the way, pays his own way, pays for his opponents, pays for everything else. So people ask why people book Hannibal. Why do you think they book Hannibal?
Yeah, they're getting free talent.
They're getting free talent.
Multiple talents.
I want to work with Sandman. And all he gets, you know, what he gets back is he's going to get the streaming rights to the video. So that could be a tempting offer until you start seeing this is not a one-time incident. This is several incidents that he's done something different. All of his lawsuits, all this. And for him to blame his vision, for him to blame, oh, I was hitting him with a fatty part of my head. No, sir, you were not. I was 20. Sorry, guys. I'm getting little pop-ups there. I'm 20 feet away from this. I see this. And everybody also asks, why didn't the referees and why didn't somebody else jump in there? What, did they want to get sliced in the jugular with a freaking railroad spike too? Because that's exactly what would have happened with a 5'3" referee jumps in there.
That's he was not in his. We've been getting, questions as one, people are still arguing whether it's a work or a shoot. Obviously, this is not a work.
This is a shoot, but it's a shoot from one man. It's not a shoot on the company's end. It's not a shoot on Lando's end. It's not a shoot on anybody else. One person, I think maybe two, maybe the person he was with and the people he had fan cam filming, they might have been on that. I think he told him to keep the camera rolling.
And the others, why didn't anybody jump in and stop it? From what you've said, the dressing room area is 100 yards away.
It's a good 100 yards away with twists and turns, and we don't have a monitor in the back.
There wasn't a monitor, so nobody was aware of really what the heck was going on until they figured out what the heck was going on.
Right.
And then immediately, I'm assuming the police and EMTs were called.
Right. And so, I mean, at this time, I've answered all the stuff that I want to say. I just want the fans to understand that, number one, this was not a work. This was a shoot caused by one man to get exactly what he's getting right now. Us talking about it, you know, different news sources picking him up. Watch the amount of clicks that he gets. Look up his background of how many clicks that he gets. And it's not his wrestling matches that get clicks. It's the controversial things that he gets clicks about. So he created a controversial moment, and he was the only one in his head that knew exactly what he was going to do. He knew, he told the referee, hey, I'm going to bring you in because I want to rough you up a little bit. I want you to get a little bit of color. That's it. And then we got an angle. I'm crazy. You're the referee, right? He brought that referee in to do that. Hannibal knew in his mind it was premeditated. He was going to choke that dude out. He was going to get a bloodbath going, and that's what he did. And for anybody to chastise anybody not jumping in there and taking care of it, put yourself in there. It was a state of shock throughout the building.
Well, and, you know, I'd venture to say that you know, we've all watched the video, but, you know, when you're 100 yards back or regardless, 100 feet back, if you've got a wiggle in between chairs and offices, you know, the incident itself, it seemed like it lasted a long time, but in reality, you know, he lays back, yeah, chokes him, starts stabbing him. I mean, it's done and over with before anybody can even get to the ring.
And you know, I want to say one other thing, and then I'll take all the questions you guys want to ask me about this. If you look at that original fan cam for the full extent, the 20 minute or whatever, you notice it gets really choppy. That's doctored footage. I think he doctored a lot of that footage, or the person that uploaded it doctored that footage. You know, where it gets real choppy and you can't really see, oh, what's going on here, there, whatever. I think he did that too to also not show all the blood that was pulled up on there, so it didn't get pulled off earlier than it did. But I will tell you, if you took a gallon of milk and poured it out, that would be equivalent to about what was on the black mat outside of the ring. Then for him to go back inside, take the referee's blood and smear it all over his body and to pander to the crowd. After that, he rolled out. Eric Embry, which is helping, you know, book, comes out. He tries to attack him. And I come over there because, I mean, I don't know if they're working or shooting, because I don't know. And I've got a million other things going on that night. But when I saw him try to manhandle Eric Embry, you know, 70 years old or whatever the case of it is, I instantly come in between them and I push Eric back. And I was like, working or shooting. Okay, now this may get me kayfabe trouble or whatever. He said, shoot and get him out of here. Get him out of my face. Get him out of the ring. Get him to the back and get him the hell out of here. This is not what's supposed to happen. So I don't know if you want to cut that part out, but I'm just telling you for your own personal use. No one knew about what was going to happen except for Hannibal. This was premeditated by him, and it could have had something to do with his altered state, but why would you have so many cameras in place? It wasn't to record that shitty match. Because that match is shitty. Carlito tried to make chicken salad out of chicken shit.
Well, you know.
That match is horrible.
Well, and you know, we can't forget that we're at the wrestling matches, you know. It's at that, you know, the fan sense of what's going on. They just can't grab a hold of the enormity of what's going on because – you know, they think it's part of the show. And
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And that's what I think is tough.
That's one reason that Bruiser Brody got killed, because when the police got there, they didn't know if it was.
They didn't know if it was a work or part of the show. But
this guy could have easily been killed.
As we came back to intermission, Eric said, if you have any kind of positive report on the guy, which we had heard at that minute, at that brief moment, that he was stable, because he had lost consciousness. There was a lot of blood getting in his mouth. He was choking. He had lost consciousness from what we heard. We gave him plenty of room, let the EMTs do their job, in which they did a great job. And that was a pretty damn quick response time, especially being in a metroplex area as big as Irving and Dallas. I came back and said, okay, guys, go ahead and take your seats. We're going to start with the second half of our show. And I took the announcer voice out of my tone out of my voice. And I said, guys, we want to let you know that the referee is stable from the EMTs, and the crowd applauded. And I said, but I also want to assure you that this is not part of quote unquote the script or the show. This is not anything that we condone. This is something that one person did on their own. And most of the people were understanding of that. But I did get a few heckles of, why the hell did you book him? You know, and it's like, I didn't book him. You know, it is what it is. But also, too, if I book Stephen E. in this weekend, and I know he's a bad guy, I know he's going to go in there and do bad guy stuff. But if Stephen shows up impaired and he's got four or five camera guys out in the audience, and he decides to pull his pants down and take a turd in the middle of the ring in front of kids and everybody else here, who's to blame? Am I to blame for being the promoter that booked Stephen E in? No. Stephen E's to freaking blame. So have some God dang, I'm so upset about accountability in this. He blamed everybody else in the world except for himself. He blamed, what difference does it make what kind of event insurance that World Class had? He said he blamed the referee for not telling him he was hurt. Well, how the hell are you going to hurt with an artery busted in your head and you got a chokehold on me and I can't even breathe? You watch his face turns purple for a minute because he lays back on him and starts choking him out.
At that point, the referee
tells his girlfriend to go in there and pull him off of him. And you'll watch her grip. She has to grab him around the throat because he's getting into it. And she's pulling him out. So,
when you see Hannibal grab him in that chokehold and pull back, and then when he lets him go, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home. And
when the referee does come somewhat to, and you know, on the outside, and it's almost like he's having a panic attack. And that's something that I told the people to please scoot back and to take their kids. And because that's not anything anybody needs to see. Mm-hmm. They gave I think everybody did a good job to jumping into action on something that wasn't planned to be in. They're in the back getting ready for their matches or finishing up their matches. And, you know, it's not the bars. It's not the venue's fault. It's not World Class's fault. It's not the guys that were booked on that card. It's not their fault, guys. Fans, this was real. And stop blaming the people involved on it. Quit trying to Me Too me because I was booked on that card. Quit trying to Me Too Mick Foley. Mick Foley, it was probably already out of the building at this time. You don't think he has negative EVO over this? Jerry Bostic has damn near received death threats over this. So I'm going to make this to plead to you wrestling fans out there that might be listening to this. Stop blaming everybody but Hannibal. Point the finger at Hannibal. He's the guy that did this, and that's all there is to it. Don't blame the referee. The referee said, hey, I'm going to do this. Yeah, if the referee was going to get color, that's fine. That's between Hannibal and the referee because Hannibal paid for the ref to come in. World Class didn't pay for him to come in. Hannibal was in charge of that because he wanted to book his own angle. Well, don't blame the ref. Blame Hannibal. Hannibal took it to a point that it shouldn't have been taken to. And that's just
It seems like that ref, you know, and again, everybody's kind of got their own opinion on everybody right now and with all the different stuff, but it's my understanding that ref charged a little bit extra, but was open to do a little bit of color, you know, if needed to be.
He was open to get color. He wasn't open to get a skull bashed in.
No. That's what I'm saying. Let me stop you.
The referee was not booked to ref. He didn't referee any other matches on that card. He was brought in to do that one thing for Hannibal.
Well, and that kind of even the point I'm about to make is you know, that ref kind of, from what I understand, made a living because he could charge a little bit extra because he was willing to maybe do a little bit extra, like on certain things. But, you know,
he had never got color before. He had never got color before. So that for Hannibal to say that he's a bleeder, that's why he was brought in, it's totally false. He thought he was up to it and could do it. But as far as I know, and from the indication I was given, that guy was very green to, you know, getting color. And Hannibal, I guess, you know, talks him into it. And if I've been in matches with Steven where I've got color, and I don't do it a lot anymore, I've got a scar up, but that guy's going to have a scar up forehead for the rest of his damn life. He's going to have scars. And, you know, if one thing too, and it's not pandering, but if you guys wrestling fans that for the first time you're actually kind of hearing this and this is maybe trying to make sense, go give $5 to Lando and help him pay his medical bills. He didn't plan on any of this.
There is a GoFundMe account for Lando.
Please do. If you don't care to put that up, and I'm not trying to hustle it up for him, but listen, you know, I've been brought in to just be a member of the crowd to, you know, get thrown in or whatever the case of it is. That's what extras do on WWE. That's what guys do. And that's what he was brought in to do. And World Class didn't pay him. That was a Hannibal thing. And I know it seems like I'm rambling, but I'm just very upset about everybody that wasn't there, that has no idea about what's going on, that wants to point the finger everywhere but except for where it needs to go, which is Hannibal.
Right.
Hannibal. It wasn't world class. It wasn't Jerry Bostic. It wasn't Mick Foley. It wasn't Jason Jones. It wasn't Michael Berry. It wasn't Fuego del Sol. It wasn't even Lando the ref. It was Hannibal that did that. Hannibal did it. He did it for shock value. He got what he wanted. He got the crowd in disgust. He got them worked up. And then the other thing I want to bring up too, I'm the guy standing in the ring that has to bring the crowd back. We lost 35 to 40% of the people in the crowd that were there, especially with kids. Now, me as a promoter, I see that as a problem. Because not only did Hannibal hurt this referee, he hurt a completely innocent company that had invested tens of thousands of dollars into this event. Do you think that those people that left in disgust, do you think they're going to lay down their 20 bucks the next time that World Class comes to town? Hopefully they do, but they probably won't.
Kill the town.
They kill the town. And he doesn't give a shit. He's counting his freaking YouTube royalties. He makes six figures a year living up in Canada. Just click it. Just doing controversial works on YouTube. So just say what you want.
To give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's say we don't think he went out there with the intent of bashing his head in with a spike. He went, he had his own thing going. He was going to give the ref color.
Right.
Do we think possibility he just got too caught up and got too reckless? Because
let's say that. Let's go down that road. Let's play what if.
Okay.
So say the referee's blade job wasn't good enough and he wanted to kind of hard way him up and bust him a little bit with the fist. Why not stop when it was pouring? Why put him in a shoot chokehold? Why throw him out? Why continue to bust him open? Why continue to grind the spike in there? You know, there's a Lando's had something. He's had to take something because of the metallic. It actually went into his skin.
Right.
That spike should have been used to bust him open. His fist could have been used to bust him open, especially if there's already a cut there. It's real easy to pop him open or to frog him, you know, boom. So the other thing of it is, why did he stop there? Why did he have to go to the outside of the ring, get him again? Why did he have to lay back on him with a shoot chokehold? So ask yourself that. I heard that, I was just opening him up because he didn't blade good enough. Okay, why didn't you stop when it was pouring down his face? That's what you want when it blades. You want a little bit to go, then you work it. And that referee was spouting out of it, and he continued to go. So that just ought to kill any credibility. And that's – if you give him a shadow, if you give him the benefit of the doubt, okay, he wanted to open him up a little bit, and he wanted to use his fist. He didn't use his fist. He used a spike, whether he wants to deny it or not. And let's say he did use his fist. Why not stop when it's pouring blood? Why do you have to put him in a shoot chokehold and choke him out and lay back on him? Why continue the punishment after he's on the outside of the ring and we're trying to get him medical attention? Why? For more clicks, to make it look more devastating. And that's, you know, you can play devil's advocate and give him the benefit of the doubt. And, I use poor judgment. Okay, but why did you continue to do it after we got him away from you? So that kills all of that credibility, in my opinion. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. And there is a pattern with this person injuring
people. Oh, this is something that he does continuously. You can look at, like, I think someone made the point of, you know, there's not just been these kind of accusations made. And we'll call them accusations because I'm not trying to get sued by anybody.
There's been other accusations. And those are out there. I'm not going to mention any names, but those are out there.
You can
there.
Google. Absolutely. And anytime you Google, you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. You're giving him internet fame. And so even me talking about him and trying to shed some light and a point of view and a point of reference from someone that was 20 feet away that was there that night, the biggest thing I want you guys and you wrestling fans to understand, this, no one else on this card had anything to do with that. No one else was involved in it. We were not, quote unquote, smartened up to it. This was all Hannibal and what Hannibal had cooked up in his head. Do I think he was altered? I think he altered his state of maybe sobriety to go out there and to go through with what he did. I don't know that for sure, but it certainly went way too far. And he's the only one that stands to benefit from this. Everybody is at a loss because of this. Jerry Bostic's at a loss of this. World Class is at a loss for this. The talent on that card, I've received negative posts on my photos and everything else and inboxes from people like, how would you be associated with that? Well, I got to make a living. I'm going to take a booking, with Mick being on that show and Fuego del Sol. We're going to have a great freaking show, man. There's so much talent that went out there and busted their asses that night. And it was such a great show, but it only takes one bad apple to spoil the bunch. So all the positive, awesome things that happened, it got thrown away in an instant by one asshole trying to get YouTube clicks so he can pad his bank account. And that's all it boils down.
But it just sucks, man. To know how hard Jerry busted his ass to put that show on, to get that kind of talent together and to do everything, and for everything to be overshadowed by, like you said, just some scumbag that.
And there's a lot of moving parts. It's not just Jerry. Let's talk about the staff. Let's talk about the security guards. Let's talk about the guys that helped set the ring up. Let's talk about all the work behind the scenes. All those guys, hundreds of people that showed up and busted their ass from even starting the night before to that day. I mean, just the innocent fans that were in the crowd that showed up to meet one of their heroes, Mick Foley. I saw one girl almost crying because she met her hero, Mick Foley. And that breaks my heart because that takes what they were there to do, which is enjoy a night with their family and their friends. And it puts a bad taste about professional wrestling in everybody's mouth, even those involved in it. There's a lot of staff members that are just upset at the industry in general over this. And
it's pretty safe to say that we're all wrestling fans. And we all remember that first wrestling show that we went to. There was somebody in that audience that was their first wrestling show. And it's sickening to think that that's going to be what they take away from, this show is just that asshole going into business for himself doing that. And, it's just it literally is a shame, that people had to see that. And that's like I said, that might be their first interpretation. That might be their first wrestling show. And you got to make that first impression and everything is the production's good. The talent's there. And then this happens. They'll never go back.
I do want to say World Class appears to be taking the correct steps to do what they can to make this right. They've severed ties with that person. They're going to, I believe, have a benefit for Lando, raise some money to go towards his medical bills. So kudos to them trying to salvage, what's come about it.
Yeah. And so let's leave it with this. Let's leave on, a final thought. This isn't the promoter's fault. This isn't the venue's fault. This isn't the workers and the staff's fault. This is one guy's fault that went into business for himself. So keep that in mind before you send your hate emails to the promoter or to the staff or to one of the sponsors for, World Class or whatever. Be informed. And I'm hopefully, I figured I was going to get heat for speaking out against this, but I promote for my company and I would want to speak out and want someone to come to bat for me and tell you what really happened and not just what allegedly he said, or this or that, or his answer to it. Guys, watch the video. How the hell is that guy supposed to tell him he's hurting if he's got a chokehold applied to his throat? That's a shoot laid back. I mean, it was locked in, man. It was
you know what irritated the shit out of me was listening to him try to explain his actions. That just
and so stern faced, just like, I severed relationships with World Class and
comments about how, you guys are a bunch of marks, this is the way that it's supposed to be. It's a wrestling show, like goddamn, shut up with that,
I'm working the boys right now. I'm cool. Screw you, man. How many thousands of potential tens of thousands of dollars did he do in damage to World Class by doing this event? How much negative publicity did he give World Class and everybody involved in this event just so he could pad his bank account, just so he could get clicks, just so he could have that shock value. Look at his, go down his YouTube, you know, because everybody's doing it anyway. And he's going to get paid for it. Look at his most popular videos. It's the ones that he makes look like a shoot, whether it be Lanny Poffo, or whether it be Honky Tonk, or whether it be him doing something else in the ring with another worker.
He was very offended.
That's the ones. That...
Sorry, I had to make a lot of it real quick.
Well, you lighten the mood, so I appreciate it. But listen, if you guys have any questions about that particular event, now's the time to throw them at me.
Man, you answered everything I had planned on asking, and I think everybody that had been sending tweets already, I think he has taken his video down, his rebuttal.
Good.
And I think
it's lies. I watched it. It's lies.
Well, and I think the reason he did that is because there's some self-incriminating statements in there. You know, no. He's blaming his own mask. He can't see. Well, if you can't see, why are you smashing the guy's brains in with a spike?
Yeah. You know, if you can't, be doing if you can't it in the first see place. Out of the, if you can't see out of the mask, then why the hell are you wearing it to begin with?
Exactly.
You know, you're not. And I heard him say that, and it just, you know, I shook my head and just was like, as soon as he opened, it's like as soon as he started talking, I could tell. You know, you've heard that old phrase. You know how he's lying. Well, his lips are moving. That was exactly what I just everything.
And
he
there
said
was
just,
it just there was almost it a smirk. Genuine. There was almost a yes. smirk on his face as he did yeah. it and was like, oh, and let me tell you, I severed relationships with world class. You know, yeah. it's
yeah. He really emphasized that. You know,
is there something preventing you from achieving your goals? Maybe something interfering with your happiness? Check out BetterHelp.com/listener. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Within 48 hours, you can connect to someone in a safe and private online environment. It's not a crisis hotline. It's not self-help. It is a professional counseling done securely online, where you can send messages to your counselor anytime. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can get a weekly video or phone session straight from the comfort of your own home. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Don't just limit yourself to counselors located near you. This service is available for clients worldwide and allows you to connect with licensed professional counselors that specialize in whatever it is you're dealing with. Since over 1 million people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. We want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/listener. Again, join over 1 million people who have taken advantage of their mental health. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/listener.
What do you say we move on to some better news, some happier news, some
absolutely, some man.
Now that we've got that out of the way,
now that
that BS is out of the way,
this weekend, December 18th, Harrison, Arkansas, at 7 p.m. Mid States Wrestling, big event. Jimmy Hart's going to be in the house, but before
the mouth south, baby.
Hey, it's me, the mouth of the south, Jimmy Hart. Join me December the 18th in Harrison, Arkansas, at the Fairgrounds Indoor Building. Bell time, 7 p.m. for MSW Wrestling. That's right. I'll be managing the Space Cowboy, Jason Jones versus Tim Rockwell. Six big matches, and I'll be there early signing autographs and take some pictures. So come on down, Harrison, Arkansas.
Before we get to that match, let's talk about a few other people going to be here. Doomsday, 7 foot tall. Doomsday will be in the house.
You got it, baby.
Not sure who his opponent is right now. Do me a favor, though.
Yeah.
As I'm doing commentary, make sure I don't get spiked.
No problem. I will honestly tell you, I will give everybody in the world my notice. If I'm on any event and I see anyone try to do anything like that again, I'll just come in with a baseball bat swinging. Okay. So they can give me the clicks, and it doesn't feed off the person like that.
And I got to give you props. Actually, Quinn McKay from ROH, she tweeted a few weeks ago how she appreciated you having her back as her trainer and keeping her away from a bunch of shitheads and people. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
Reverse.
Shout out to Quinn McKay for doing that. And kudos to you, man.
So I was going to do a, I, I was going to do a spot this weekend where I light Nathan on fire. Is that a no-go now, or
that's
you
no-go.
Know, are we still kind of maybe?
That's a hard pass.
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Oh, he said he'd wear an extra shirt or something.
So thanks for stealing my thunder on that awesome compliment, Chapman.
That's why I'm here.
Hey, yeah.
From the day that Quinn showed up and took her first bumps till the day that she got a Ring of Honor contract till the day that it's like still to this day, she has been nothing but a great student. She always wanted to learn. And I look out for my students. I never want to put them in a position where, and I did, and I do look out for the females a little bit more because they do have that wrestling fan that has that creeper thing. Let me book you in to do this match. You know, and you know, being on the road with like Miranda and things like that, you know, I see some of those messages that she gets from, hey, I need you to do a custom match. And you're like, oh my God, you creeper. But yeah, I did try to keep a lot of that from her. And I'm glad that she's able to recognize that. And I want to thank her for the kind words that she said about me as a trainer, and not just as a trainer, as a human being. So, thank you, Quinn.
And shout out to Miranda, who's also trained with you and Craig. Booked for MLW.
I'm not going to be booking that crap.
Booked for MLW, man, in Dallas. Woo. The next pay-per-view. Yeah. How sweet is that?
What's an MLW?
It's Major League Wrestling.
It's a joke.
You know what it is.
I know what it is. We had Jacob Thaw, too, on that event, too.
Dude, is he not awesome?
Huh?
Is he not
awesome? He's awesome. Him and Moonshine tore it down, baby.
Oh. Yes, I can imagine.
Anytime I see a guy from, you know, one of our mid-states guys in there mixing it up with someone like Jacob Fatu and standing toe-to-toe with him, one of the guys that's one of the best in the world right now, I love it. I love it, man. I think you guys need to keep everyone, if you haven't seen Moonshine Mantell in action, that's one guy
that you need
to watch. Yes. If he's on one of our cards, you be sure to be there because I'm telling you, there's a lot of guys that I'll say that person's a guy to watch. Moonshine Mantell might very well be the next step, the future of pro wrestling to what an actual wrestler needs to be. And I'm very, very proud of him. Very proud of him.
Speaking of greatness and the future of pro wrestling, I just want to announce that I'll be there Saturday night in the show.
Where's it? When's the announcement coming?
No, it's it. That's it. Right there. I'll be there. Hi, Bad Luck Chapman will be in Harrison, Arkansas, Saturday night.
Back to the show. Longhorn
you
Outlaw.
You are welcome.
Longhorn Outlaw also in action.
Ticket sales just
Longhorn Outlaw is going to be in action.
Johnny Lightning in action.
Johnny Lightning in action. Man, listen, both members of Toxic Masculinity are going to be there, and Johnny Dynamite has his first ever heavyweight championship matchup against Gary Roosevelt Graham. So we're hoping that, you know, maybe I'm sure Lightning will be around. And
hey, I'm just saying, is it coincidence that that there was photographic evidence of Johnny Lightning shaking hands with Stephen E, and all of a sudden Dynamite gets a championship match the following show? I don't know, you know.
It's all
I'm not starting rumors, but
it's all rumors.
You could call me Johnny Thunder.
No.
Now, will Wani be there as well?
Wani, I'm sure Wani will be there. Johnny and Train, Mr. Wani himself. Also, too, Alan Jefferson's going to defend the U.S. Highways title against the Iceman. Iceman gets his rematch, so that'll be a big one. I know Natural Born Villains will be here. Thrash will be here. Luke Langley and Gideon Vane might actually be the matchup to watch for the night. I've said it for years. I've always loved Luke. The crowd loves Luke. Luke is on an absolute streak right now, a hot streak. It doesn't get much better than Luke Langley and Gideon Vane. I think they're going to tear the house down Saturday night. So I'll tell you this, there won't be an empty seat around that monitor in the back, I guarantee you, because those guys, between those two, you're looking at probably a number one contender type seed, you know, off of that. I know Doomsday's going to be here. Jim Fallon's going to be here. Gary Roosevelt Graham. And then, of course, you know, Jimmy Hart's going to be here. Not just Jimmy Hart going to be here just signing autographs and taking photos with the fans. We're hoping maybe we can get him on a little commentary, maybe. And yeah, not to mention, we're going to put him in my corner. So I'm excited. Jimmy's in my corner.
Jimmy Hart in your corner, managing you. Trying to get back that Southern heavyweight title against the natural born villain, Tim Rockwell. He'll also have Big Stevie in his corner.
And, you know, the whole thing that kind of wanted to address, because I won the Southern Heavyweight Championship back on the Bobby Eaton tribute. I mean, like right in front of Bobby's family, went out, gave him a hug, and they were just like, it was amazing. It was in my hometown. And to have some BS pulled and to lose the belt in 15 hours, and not even to lose the belt, to have it upheld, is something that's just BS. And I understand that when you have an inter-promotional title that does travel to different promotions, that there's different stipulations, there's different politics that get played, and politically played or not, you know, the only thing I was able to do at that point is they're going to hold the belt up and Tim Rockwell and I have a rematch. But every time that I've had a match with Tim, it's always been somebody else getting involved, whether it be Thrash, whether it be Big Stevie. And Big Stevie is nothing. He's been called a Jimmy Hart ripoff for years, carried the megaphone around. So, hey, man, might as well pick up my phone to my buddy that owes me $9, the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. Pick up the phone, Jimmy Hart. Hey, can you be in my corner? Will you watch my back against Big Stevie? He's still in your megaphone gimmick. Oh, he's still in my megaphone, baby. Oh, I can't help that. So, you know, Jimmy's going to have my back. And I, you know, one reason that let's just think about all the people that Jimmy Hart has managed.
I have
over the years, whether he's been a heel or a baby face, think about the go back to Memphis, you know, go back to him riding Keep On Dancing with the Gentries and then breaking into Memphis Wrestling and trying to take Jerry Lawler out, managing Andy Kaufman, managing Bobby Eaton and, you know, the Hart family back in the day.
Managing the Hulkster.
Well, so we skipped ahead from Memphis to the Hulkster there, but
even bigger than the Hulkster, he managed the Nasty Boys.
Now we've done a whole show on this. Aside from Stephen E, the manager of champions, Jimmy Hart is definitely on my Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling managers. I got Heenan, Hart, Cornette, Heyman. That's my Mount Rushmore.
Other than Heyman, I'm right there with all of those, and I don't know who I'd replace Heyman with. But absolutely Heenan, Cornette,
Gary Hart.
Maybe? I love Gary Hart, but Gary Hart wasn't as mainstream as people, you know. So I don't know, man. That fourth one's up for debate, but or that fifth one, whatever. But, hell, I don't know how many faces are on that damn thing, but anyway. But I mean, let's do the list. I mean, think about the Hart Foundation, think about Bret Hart and Jim Neidhart. Think about not just the guys he's managed. Think about the history and all the theme songs he's wrote for the guys. He wrote Sexy Boy by Shawn Michaels. He wrote Dusty Rhodes' theme music. He did all of those things back in the day. Wolfpack, DDP's music.
Hogan. I didn't know that.
Honky Tonk Man. Demolition. LOD.
Demolition, and then Homeboy recorded it, right?
And LOD. The Rockers. Yeah. Crush. Some bangers on this list, man.
Wow. What is, you know, just think of the angles that he did with Honky Tonk Man and then bringing Greg the Hammer Valentine into the equation and the angles with Adrian Adonis. And it's just, there's so much stuff that's so
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman, for God's sakes, right?
Legendary.
And he said the famous line when Lawler broke his leg and Lawler was a heel and he was managing Lawler. And he said, Lawler, what do you do when a racehorse breaks his leg? You take him out. And that's what he did. And he became the biggest heel in Memphis. So it didn't, it was guilt by association. You came out with, Jimmy Hart, you were a bad guy. And so that's why they, you know, there's times where he'd be on those cards. I was talking to him this last summer, the summer before when we went and did the Jerry Lawler 50th anniversary. Jimmy was in town 4 days before the event. And I was to drive Jimmy to go do those radio stations, to go do those plugs. And everybody loves Jimmy. And he's such a personable guy Like, we went, we ate every meal together. We left the hotel at 6 a.m. every morning. We got back sometimes at 11 o'clock at night after the shows that we were doing building up to that. But we would go to Waffle House after the show at night, and people would walk over to him because they recognized him. He never was rude to one person. He would put on his sunglasses and stand up and take a photo with him, even if it right in the middle of his cheeseburger. It's just, he's so personal. And I watched how he interacted with not just people in the radio industry, but fans in general. And I was like, oh my gosh, we have to have him in Mid-States. We have to have Jimmy Hart here, because we always try to bring in those legends. But that's one guy that I just think is really cool. And everybody remembers him in some form or fashion. But if we posted a picture every day of somebody that he managed, I'd have had to start him 2 months ago. You know, it's just the list goes on and on and on.
Yeah,
about,
I've got a huge list right here in front of me.
Let me hear some of them.
I took some of the lesser known ones out that we know, but some of our audience might, but I left several on here. The Barbarian, Brutus the Barber, Beefcake, Dino Bravo, King Kong Bundy, Dungeon of Doom, The First Family, Flair, Funks,
yeah.
Terry and Dory Funk Jr., The Valley.
That's right. That's right. He was.
Adrian Adonis, The Giant, a.k.a. The Big Show. Hot Stuff, Eddie Gilbert. Of course, you've done mention the Hart Foundation and
yes,
Bret Hart.
Sir.
Hulk Hogan, Kamala, Jerry Lawler, Luger, Ming, Natural Disasters, Lanny Poffo, Rhythm and Blues, The Raju Brothers, Ravishing Rick.
I mean, anybody who's anybody, he's had something to do with, whether managing or whether writing the music or whatever the case is. It's just amazing how many people, you know, how much product Jimmy has put out that you know, that we know that we may not have even had any idea that he had anything to do with, you know. I never in a million years thought he had anything to do with LOD or, you know, Demolition's music, you
he
know, but
about-
now I know he's very musically inclined and, you know, and did that gimmick for a while, but yeah, I had no idea. So yeah, that's what I love about these podcasts is even an old fan like myself will find something new out. It's awesome.
What else you got on that list, Nathan?
He songs or wrestlers?
Wrestlers.
Of course, Money Inc., Nasty Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I mentioned Andy Kaufman, which was one of the most legendary angles in professional wrestling history. Started on David Letterman. Ken Patera, Big Boss Man. Man, I could go on.
That's right,
on.
Boss Man.
Ravishing.
Golly.
Dude. Yeah, lots of stuff. You mentioned.
What's the list of music that you have? Because, you know, the most iconic ones are the people that remember the Dusty Rhodes theme song. Everybody knows that. And he was telling me how he got the idea for that.
He
did
20-something for WWE wrestlers and over 100 for WCW wrestlers. He also
let's focus on the WWE ones. Do you know which ones that you can pick out right off? I know Shawn Michaels was like, you know, everybody. That's one of the most famous, theme songs.
He did Hogan's, but I don't know if that would be his WWF song.
He did. That was Rick Derringer.
I know he did his WCW stuff.
He did the American Made, and he had that album, The Wrestling Boot Band, with Hogan that had I Want to Be a Hulkamaniac and all that. He did Monday Night Memories.
Cue it up, Chapman.
He's got the red, white, and blue running through his veins.
Yep, you can thank Mr. Jimmy.
He was born and raised in the U.S. of A.
That's probably
the sixth or
seventh time I heard
American,
that this week.
If you bust into American Males, I'm going to slap the piss out of every one of you.
American
Worst theme song.
American Male.
He is
American
responsible
male.
For a few bad
American
ones. I think with that one and Freak
that?
Out.
Did Jimmy do American Males?
I know
I'm
he
sure
did Buff
he did.
Bagwell, so I'm going to assume he did American Males too.
I want to be a Hulkamaniac.
He did that one. He did Buffs. He did the Nitro Girls, NWO Wolfpack, most notably Shawn Michaels, Sexy Boy, Raven, Honky Tonk Man. Again, Demolition.
See, that's, you know, and think about Honky Tonk Man made a career off of singing that song.
Yeah.
What did he do at his Hall of Fame induction? Who inducted him? Jimmy Hart. What song did he sing? He grabbed the mic and did the Honky Tonk Man song, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Snuka's, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, The Rockers, Hart Foundation, and then of course Bret's when he went solo.
You know what's crazy?
So if he did the Hart Foundation, is that Bret Hart's music? Did he compose that?
Yep.
That's my dad's favorite wrestling music of all time. He loves Bret Hart.
You know what's crazy to me is that he wrote all these songs, and yet, you know, like he wrote them while Jim Johnson was there. You know, like Jim Johnson's, you know, you hear about everything that he's written and wrote for you know, all the guys. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't know if Jim Johnson has, you know, as many hits for theme music as Jimmy Hart. That's crazy.
I think Hart has more iconic ones and Jim Johnson has more newer ones. But mm-hmm. I mean, just like I've got a Gentry's album that he's going to sing. And if you guys don't know who the Gentry's were, you know, he busts on the scene, but he wrote that, I keep on dancing, keep on. And he went on.
You can look that up on YouTube and see a very young Jimmy Hart singing that. You can tell it's him, too.
With the Dick Clark Cavalcade of Stars that did like the fair circuit. And he tells one iconic story, and he tells all the guys in the locker room. He says, guys, Dick Clark had two rules when we were on tour with him. Number one, you be on time, you show up for your sound checks, right? He said, number two, always dress the part. He said, if you dress like the audience, you're going to end up in the audience. And he learned that from Dick Clark. And he took that, and that's why his outfits were always over the top. He said there was a lot of times he would have to go to the dollar store, him and his wife, and he'd get little stuff for him to sew on there, a crazy loud piano attire. A lot of that stuff was stuff she would sew him on, his jackets and things like that. And he was always willing to put on a chicken suit or do this or do that or whatever. That man, you know, I was like, Jimmy, please don't set up chairs in the ring at the 50th anniversary. I'm like, we got 50 guys to do that. Oh, baby, I'm just here to help, you know. And he's just such a, you know, I try to say I'm the hardest working man in pro wrestling, but I mean, I just want to learn from Jimmy. And that's what I tried to do for 4 or 5 days, that literally we were just together night and day. And I watched his work. I watched his work ethic. And still to this day, he never told one kid no for an autograph. Oh, no, you need to buy my picture. I'm not signing your autograph. Mm-hmm. He never told one person as we're walking into Walmart, no, I won't take a picture with you, baby. And he would make sure and say, now check it, make sure it's okay. You know, and I'm just like, we need more people like Jimmy Hart in the wrestling business and less people like Shithead.
You know, when he first started, he had a cane. Vince gave him the megaphone.
Really?
He got the WWE.
And I knew the megaphone came about in WWE, but I don't really remember the cane.
And Vince said, yeah, you can do whatever you want to with it. So Jimmy came up with all the crazy paint ideas and stuff like that.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I have a megaphone that I got for Jimmy to sign, and I've got Hart stickers for it and everything. So that's going to be one of the centerpieces in my collection. I'm going to put it right next to the gym on the Wall of Fame with the signed picture of Jimmy and right by the Jerry the King Lawler singlet. So I figure that'll be a great little Memphis centerpiece right there with Jimmy Hart. So,
man, you know, Jimmy's
pretty good. One day Jimmy Hart will live up to the reputation of me. But he's getting there. He's getting there. Good kid. He'll make it one day, you know.
I'm looking forward to it, man, especially getting a visit with him. And your guests are awesome anyway. I love doing commentary for your shows. And
you guys do a great job, man. Even when Steven trots out there in Chapman, I mean, you cover up for him. I mean, you do a great job, you know.
Well, my back gets a little sore sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
But hopefully...
I'm a broadcast journalist, I'll have you know.
Oh, I broke my back.
It was
finally. My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
God, I don't ever want to be caught, like, on the record laughing at that. Mike Tyson just beat the shit out of me. Because I think Mike Tyson's really cool.
Dude, it's funny you say that. Me and Steven, like, I think last night, we're talking, and it's like, could you imagine legit, like, being the guy that dates his ex-wife? You know, when he comes over to make the child support payment or whatever, if he does that. You know, and just have him there be like, so you're the new guy, huh? Like, how do you, even me, as great as I am, how do you live up to Mike Tyson? You know, if he starts mouthing off your woman, you're not going to tell him to shut up.
Yeah. You know,
you're
what
gonna
I think?
Be next to him going, that's right, bitch. You know, like...
You know, You know what? One thing that I think like really gave Tyson that career jumpstart again was The Hangover, when he did that part and there was like, how badass is this dude with a pet tiger? And he's like, oh wait, this is my favorite part. He's doing the drum solo to, you know, Phil Collins. He's like, bam. And he was like, and then he's like, when he leaves, he's like, I just got knocked out by Mike Tyson, man. Like, how cool is that, dude? Like, I can remember playing Mike Tyson's Punch Out at my buddy Aaron Clark's house when they first got it. And just like, this is so cool, man. And Mike Tyson at that time was such a household name. Everybody knew who he was. He's the biggest star in the world. You know, when you have that crown, I mean, he was the next biggest name right after, you know, Muhammad Ali. And of course you had Sugar Ray Leonard, but Mike Tyson was that heavyweight and he was transcendent, man. That's why he got such a big payday to do the Japanese thing, to do the Japan thing and the endorsements. And I just think that, man, how the hell we get talking about Mike Tyson? But that's one guy that I had an opportunity and it was going to be able to do an event that was going to be a pro wrestling event with a lot of 90s and 80s stars, and COVID sucked and kind of put a squash on that. But it had Flair, it had Sting, and it had Jose Canseco, and had all these celebrities, and it had a bunch of the people from Saved by the Bell. And the person I said out of all of them, as the minute I glanced the poster, I was like, oh my God, Mike Tyson's going to be there. I can't wait to meet Mike Tyson, you know? And so that's one guy, if he's going to be at a con, I'll probably mark out and pay the money. So.
I feel like that's how Jimmy sees me, you know? And if you see Jimmy later, tell him I went out and bought a brand new Sharpie. So when he wants me to sign anything for him, $5 a signature. But
you know what? One thing I'll tell you that's cool, and this is just like, this is how cool Jimmy is we'll be eating lunch. You want to eat lunch certain time, certain place every day, you know, because there's a restaurant there in Jackson, Tennessee, just absolutely loves. But that beans and taters thing is pretty much true. We're at a place that does like family style. They bring you all this homecoming. They got, you know, catfish, fried chicken. Then they got black eyed peas and collard greens and mashed potatoes and gravy. And he's like, baby, you have all that meat you want. He's like, I'm going to have them bring me all the vegetables. And he's like, oh, I can't wait to get some of them beans today. And he needs vegetables. And we're like driving in the car and we're going to our next little radio interview. And he's like, oh, baby. And he's talking to me psychology and wrestling. He's telling me stories about the Boogie Boogie Man. He's this. And all of a sudden he's like, Hulkamania, baby, what's going on? And I'm like, is that Hulk Hogan he's on the phone with? And he's like, yeah, baby. Oh yeah, I'll be back home in 2 days. And I was like, tell him I love him, you know? But I was just like, Hogan called him 2 or 3 different times, like while I'm with him. And I'm like, that's my closest, you know, in, you know, besides Brooke, but like just having a casual conversation and Hogan calling him, you know? And I'm like, you know, he's in my car talking to freaking Hulk Hogan, you know, like my hero when I was a 7-year-old kid. So it's so cool to listen to him talk about all those stories, but he is so intelligent, like as far as putting matches together, finishes, everything else like this. So I'm really excited he's going to be in my corner watching my back. And, you know, there's nothing more that I would love is to have that belt more than 24 hours again. I had that belt 15 hours and I didn't get a chance to take a picture with the damn thing because we had crown the next day and that's when the event happened. And so to have Jimmy in my corner in my hometown, in my favorite place to wrestle, you know, Harrison, Arkansas, Mid-States Wrestling, and a guy that I watched manage some of the greats when I was a kid is going to be managing me. So it'll be a kind of a mark out moment for me. So I'm pretty excited. So I really want to share this with all of our loyal fans that just a chance to meet him.
Yeah, they're going to be excited to just meet him.
Absolutely. And he's such a great guy. He'll take every photo that you want to take with him and he'll sign every autograph and talk to every little kid and he'll make everybody feel special. Just like I've seen him do 100 times when we've been on shows together. Like I pitched the idea to him about the video and about the video that we did with the poster and how he gave me $1.
Yeah, like, I'm going to include some of that too.
I gave him this much info. I was like, maybe we could do this. And he's like, he just kind of like looks off for a minute. He's like, oh, I got an idea. Let's do this and this and this. And it was like, it became this little thing that I was just going to do, and it became him adding to it. Oh, let me do this for you, and we'll do this, and I'll have my social media guy share it. And it was like, Jimmy didn't have to do that. Jimmy didn't have to. He could have said, no, I don't want to do that. And I'd have been like, okay, no problem, man. But that was Jimmy's way of helping me get over for and he just at the end of, you know, I was trying to help Bert and Lawler do all, you know, take Jimmy around and helping out with the events. And like the third day he came downstairs and I met him in the lobby. He would call me and he'd say, hey, baby, it's about 5:45. I'm going to be down the lobby in about 15 minutes. And so take your time, but I'll be ready. I'll be waiting on you. All right, baby. Love you. See you in a little bit. And, you know, I get down the lobby and the third day he gives me this. It's in a hard container and it's a Hulkamania overseas tour ticket stub. And he said that one of his, he had sold one of them recently, a collector paid like $500 for it. And he said, I had one more. And he said, I wanted you to have this. And I was like, oh no, Jimmy, I know, man, you do that, sell that. And he's like, no, baby. He's like, take it. And he goes, if you want to put it in, you know, one of your fundraiser auctions or whatever. And he said, but if you want to just put it in your personal collection, he said, I just really appreciate all the hard work that you've done for Lawler and Bert on this. And I was just like, who does that? Like the nicest freaking guy in the world, dude. And so that was something special to me. That meant a lot that he acknowledged my hard work trying to help out, put an event together. But he doesn't have to go above and beyond and do all the stuff that he does. And he does it. And I think the people are just going to see what he really is when he's here. And it's just a genuine, awesome dude. And pro wrestling needs more people like him, positive people around, and not just newer guys, but the legends too. You know, there's certain people that I have purposely not brought in, even though there's people I know that they wanted to see, just because I've had dealings with some of those guys. And I'm like, I don't want them being the face of my company and being rude to people and saying, yeah, you want my autograph, kid? They'll be $50. I don't want to do that, man. I want my fans to have a good reflection on, and I think we do a pretty good job of that, of giving them a good family quality entertainment deal, but also leaving here with, like, I met a WWF Hall of Famer in Mid-States Wrestling, and I didn't have to stand in line at a Comic-Con and pay $50 to get his autograph or something. You know, I want to give that to our people that are around here and our diehard fans. So I'm excited to do it Saturday.
I'm gonna go ahead and say this while I've got you here. You seem to be in a good mood, kind of baby facing it up. And, you know, I just want to talk and I want to be real with you, right? We've known each other for what, 12, 13, 14 years now?
Too damn long.
You know, we've had our ups, we've had our downs. And you know, in my broadcast journaling career, I've went back over and looked some stuff up, man. And I just got to say, like, I hope you do great Saturday night. You know, I hope you leave safely. I hope everything's good. It's not going to be with the belt, though. You've got Tim Rockwell out there. And did you say Thrash was going to be there?
Usually when Tim Rockwell's around, Thrash is not far behind.
Right. That's
carrying his bag, doing whatever he needs to do for him.
That's his insurance policy. I'd say that Southern States Heavyweight Championship's probably not going to be left in Harrison. But hey, you're a great guy. You know, you get an E for effort. And, you know, the best of luck to you. I just hope that you walk out on your own two feet.
Well, Chapman, I tell you what, after I win the Southern Heavyweight Championship, I want you to roll in this ring, and I'll lift the bottom rope up so you can roll underneath that. And I want you to stand up. And I want you to raise my hand, and then I'm going to shake your hand and tell you what a great friend you've been. And I'm going to give you one more DDT and knock you out one more time.
Well, you know, listen.
Where's the scar at? Show me the scar. Where's the scar?
I don't have a scar, you know, but here's the thing, you know, everybody gets lucky once. It was a cheap shot, you know, and more importantly now, I have taken my career to the broadcast journalist part. And I'm just there to announce. I'm there to call it down the middle, call it like I see it. You know, have you ever beat Thrash? Did you ever beat Thrash?
What?
Did you ever beat Thrash?
I never heard of her.
Oh, what's that kid's name that's with Tim? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, good luck. That's I'm just trying to wish you good luck. You know, I hope the best for you.
I appreciate that, man.
Man, I'm super stoked. I'm looking forward to the commentary there. I'm looking forward to meeting Jimmy Hart.
He couldn't be creative and say, oh, I saw the photo. I saw the photo. I can tell you right now that Tim Rockwell's hand was over Longhorn Outlaw.
I already did that.
So I won't dwell on that long, but let's put it for what it was. Who hit the offensive maneuver? I hit my bulldog on the Longhorn Outlaw. I pinned him. Tim Rockwell slid in and put a hand over the top of him as the referee was counting. Well, my offensive maneuver is the one that took him out just because he snuck in behind me. But was it enough to take the belt off me? No, I tried to get the match to restart right there between Tim Rockwell, and he rolled out. Him and Big Stevie rolled out, and because it's just like somebody else up north. Stevie got the letters and the lawyers involved and all that stuff. So all you got to do in this snowflake society is give in to them and set it up for a rematch. But I will tell you this time, every time I faced Tim Rockwell, I've went out there alone, and it's been 2-on-1 or 3-on-1. But Saturday night, I'm going to have Jimmy Hart in my corner, and he's got somebody in his corner, which is that megaphone. So, Stevie, you want to bring your megaphone? Jimmy Hart is going to knock. He's going to knock you out with his, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see the look on the crowd's face when Jimmy Hart and I are in the middle of the ring at the end of the night with our hands raised after I've given Chapman a DDT to, and he's jumping up and down going, we did it, baby. We did it, baby. It's going to be great.
I'm on your side here. I'm telling you, if I'm out there at that commentator table, if you look over, Jay, I'm going to have your back. I'm going to give you the thumbs up. I'm there for you. You're just not going to win.
Yeah, but you'd also give the same thumbs up to Tim Rockwell when I wouldn't be looking, right?
Well, here's the thing about Tim. Tim's pretty classy.
World-class athlete.
You know, he's got the belt. He's going to leave with the belt. But you know what? Me and Tim aren't as good of friends as me and you. That's why I tell you. I got your back if you need it. You just holler.
With friends like you, who needs enemies, Chapman?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
I'm here for you.
We normally end things by this week in wrestling history. We're not going to do that on this episode. If you want to check that out, go to our Twitter at the Slop Drop One. It'll be there, riddled through all the.
Are you just gonna doing that because I don't know what the hell's going on in this week in wrestling?
No, there's a lot. But again, this Saturday, December 18th, in Harrison, Arkansas. Mid-States Wrestling, MSWTickets.com or 858-848-SLAM for tickets. You better get them. If there's any left, I don't know.
We got tickets. We got tickets. Let's get them, man. Get here. Bring the family. Bring the friends. Family entertainment. Good times, baby.
Next week, call the box office.
Get your tickets.
Next week, we will be doing our annual Sloppy Award episode. Ooh. And maybe have something from Jimmy Hart. I don't know. But for those of you who are the negative stuff that some of us are getting about Hannibal, some of his cult-like followers, I'll just leave you with this.
Set your ass down. Go to sleep. Give us all a break.
And you guys got anything else?
Oh, I was very offended.
I was very offended.
The actions of the Blood Hunter guy.
He was very offended.
Why are we even talking about that guy anymore? You know, I don't even know who that guy is.
Except that guy.
Yeah, that about wraps it up. Follow us on Facebook at The Slop Drop, on Twitter at The Slop Drop One. Check us out on YouTube. Also, wherever you get your podcast, we're there. Smash the subscribe button. Leave some good comments, some good ratings, and all that good stuff. And as always, thank you all for listening. Till next time, we're out of here.